buscas las ofertas de Early Black Friday en Lowe's, estás justo a tiempo. Ahorra hasta 50% en electrodomésticos selectos y hasta 25% extra en combos de electrodomésticos selectos. ¿Estás pensando ya en poner luces navideñas? Aprovecha ahorros de hasta 50% en escaleras selectas. Precios de Black Friday sin las filas de Black Friday. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta el 11-19, selección varía por tienda, solo en tiendas selectas, hasta agotar existencias. Detalles en Lowe's.com.
Welcome back to Travoltine Presents Easy Riders, hosted by Jeff Sweeney and Stuart Elmore, recapping the Dramatic Explorations era. Enjoy the episode.
Dramatic Explorations. From Dracula to Mr. Deeds.
Dramatic expirations, Mr. Deeds.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of like a loose term.
It is a little bit of a loose term.
But I do think it's ultimately kind of does describe this era as a bulk. Like, because I didn't want to just use the A-list era again. Like, that's what we did for
Travolta,
For Travolta and Fraser in some way.
Yeah.
But it's like the era where she branched out from what she was known for.
It girl
stuff.
Yeah.
And just kind of really tried new genres and experiences and movies.
Yeah, she explored dramatically.
Yeah, like even Mr. Deeds, which is a comedy, it was like a different type of dramatic like drama that she's used to, because comedy is a type of drama. Like it's a different...
Really trying to shoehorn it in there, aren't you?
It was a different thing. Well, you said it. You said it, and I had to defend it.
Yeah. No, I agree with the title.
She's trying new things.
It's like it's the era that she's known for, and the movies within the era that she's known for is the dramatic works: like, Bram Stoker, Age of Innocence.
Like Crucible. I would say, if you went up to like a 40-year-old person on the street, I'm gonna say 40 specifically. Let's say you go up to that person, you're like, Winona Ryder,
Shoplifting.
Name me three movies. The three movies they'll probably name are from that first era. Like, I do think that culturally she is kind of known for, like,
Beetlejuice, Heathers.
Edward Scissorhands, Heathers. Like, I think that's kind of like the guest of the show, Cole Bradley, on his podcast, like, kind of floated the idea of the obituary movies, which, like, is kind of morbid, but it's like when an actor dies, it's like star of this movie.
Yeah.
Like, if Tom Hanks were to pass, it would say Forrest Gump star Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
That's what it would say.
Yeah.
That kind of movies would be like Heathers, Beetlejuice, Edward Scissorhands star, Winona Ryder.
Yeah.
And that's not to like discredit this era, but I do think that like culturally she's known for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think amongst like cinephiles and like people who have watched her career, this is kind of the most celebrated era.
Yeah.
Like, this is when she's putting in her best work. It's like, you know, it's Dracula, it's Age of Innocence, it's Little Women, Reality Bites, The Crucible, Girl Interrupted. Like, it's all these really compelling performances from Winona.
Yeah.
These things that, you know, go against her image at the time, sometimes to her detriment, sometimes to her benefit. But she's definitely, you know, exploring.
Yeah. Definitely dramatic explorations.
Yes.
Yeah. And of course, we... You okay there, bud?
Yeah, I'm good.
You all right? We have to address the elephant on the mic.
The elephant in the room.
Elephant in the room.
Because the reason that this is kind of the cap to this era is because after Mr. Deeds and Simone, she takes a 5-year break from working.
Yeah.
And that's because most people know this. We even talked about it last week a little bit on the Mr. Deeds episode. She runs into a major scandal.
Yes.
And that is her shoplifting arrest in 2001.
Unfortunately, a thing that I think to this day people still hold over her.
Yeah, I think it takes her, 2009 is when I think she starts actually breaking out from it.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2015 with the release of Stranger Things is when like she's back in the popular consensus and the mood has shifted.
Yeah.
Because even though ultimately, I'm not going to say she's vindicated from the shoplifting scandal, she did shoplift. Like, yeah. That's not really something you can just be like, yeah, it's shoplifting.
Yeah.
But I do think that culturally people have kind of come to understood the circumstances surrounding it a little better,
mm-hmm.
and realize that there is, you know, there's some moral grayness to all this.
Yeah, there's yeah. I mean, do you want to go into the story?
Yeah,
story?
I'll recap it really quick, which is that on December 12th of 2001, she gets arrested at a Saks Fifth Avenue for shoplifting $5,500 worth of designer goods, like clothes and accessories and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
She gets arrested. She, you know, pays bail. She hires a team of lawyers to defend her, as you know anyone would do in this situation. They never produced a plea bargain, and it eventually goes to trial. She gets convicted of grand theft and shoplifting. Acquitted on burglary. She's sentenced to 3 years of probation, 480 hours of community service, about $4,000 in fine, and then she has to pay the Saks Fifth Avenue for all the damages.
Yeah.
It takes ultimately a full year from the shoplifting scandal to the sentencing. So it's basically the full year of 2002 is just consumed by this in the media.
Like, yeah.
That's what the gossip rags are talking about.
Damn. Sorry, this is... Winona's sentencing.
Yeah.
From AP Archive.
Associated Press.
Yeah.
She finishes her probation in 2005 and then like starts slowly working her way back into the industry because she doesn't work during the...
Has known all along the unique factors that go into this case. I've spent countless time and effort explaining that to them. The fact of the matter is that she's been treated, in my opinion, anything but like anybody else. The fact of the matter is that I know.
Felon is inappropriate and offensive. What else is offensive to me is for someone to trot out the body of a dead child and in some way say because she supported the
that is just so outrageous, Judge. That really is.
For a year and I'm asking
she hasn't
her.
Listened to anything for a year. She's only been on this case for 4 months.
This matter.
So very dramatic.
Yeah, dramatic court.
Dramatic court.
What is being referenced there is that like during her defense, her defense attorneys bring up, which we talked about during the, God, which movie has the four Polly? Winona Ryder, Little Women.
Yeah.
That she was supportive of the Polly class case and like trying to find that girl.
Mm-hmm.
And the defense attorney brought that up as like as a character example of that she's a good person.
Mm.
And that's what the prosecution is using. They're trotting out a dead child to earn sympathy points.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm going to play one more bit, which is, yeah. I think, a press statement by one of her attorneys.
An image and possibly your future freedom. To the extent that I've made these comments, I hope you take them to...
She has nothing to apologize to me for. She helped me. She came to me in my deepest, darkest hour of need. And offered up to $1 million of her own money for the recovery of a little girl that she had never met. You tell me who else has ever done something like that. Apologize to me? No, there's no need to apologize to me. She was a loyal friend to me,
father?
And I'll be a loyal friend to her.
That is the father defense.
Minutes ago, she was...
All right. That was not a press statement by her attorney. That was the...
Yeah, that kind of became a different, like...
It's interesting. I didn't realize how much of a dramatic court case bit that was.
Yeah, that was a major part of it that ultimately like isn't really a major part of it, but.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Jeff. Can I play you one more clip?
Yes,
it's actually a very short clip.
Have you ever spoken to Winona, especially in light of her recent controversies?
No, I haven't talked to Winona for a while, and
I was just Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. You know that? I mean, the way they dragged her through the, I would say mud, but in fact it was a broken glass.
It must be hard though to see somebody you basically care about
go
through a difficult time like that. That.
Yeah, but I mean, she's a good kid. You know, she's also a very strong spirit. She'll make her way through it.
He just has one of the weirdest voices anyone's ever had.
Yeah.
Like, what is he? He's talking like this. Like, what do we do? the like she, you know, they find oxycodone, diazepam, and Vicodin in her system at the time.
They take a blood test over?
Yes. Wow. That was all in her system. They were considering that as a charge for having it without a prescription, but they did discover that it was a valid prescription that she had.
I mean, and interesting that their minds immediately jumped to illegal abuse of it.
Yeah. And it does, like, she does ultimately, it's revealed that she has a pill dependency.
Yeah.
And was prescribed these pills by a quack doctor, Jules Luzman. Because in Hollywood, there is this culture of, like, kind of quack doctors who just prescribe medications. It's come up a lot with Michael Jackson's case. I'm blank. There's another one. There are plenty of situations where this has occurred.
Yeah.
But just like where doctors will prescribe these drugs that shouldn't be prescribed to these celebrities because of their celebrity nature.
I was going to say.
They develop a dependency on it.
Yeah.
Heath Ledger
was
another example of just like over-prescribing. And they become dependent upon these pills and these substances. And it can lead to them acting erratically or in many cases death.
And this isn't at all to take away from the fact that like the doctors, of course, acted extremely irresponsibly in all of these cases. I do have to wonder, though, if it's the celebrities find the if the quack doc doctors find the celebrities or if it's the celebrities finding
it's it's the celebrities who find like, Winona had suffered with insomnia for her entire life and, you know, various issues. And went to a doctor and he just overprescribed.
But do you get my point with that? It's like the point I'm making is like.
Like these celebrities just want quick fixes.
Exactly. Exactly. And they know the people to go to who will prescribe things for them. And so not taking away that these doctors acted illegally and immorally.
Mm. But like that there's a fair bit of blame on the celebrities' part as well, like seeking these out. But ultimately my thing is like a good doctor shouldn't prescribe this stuff.
No, of course not.
Because part of like what happens to Winona is like she has this dependency that she forms, and then she starts going to other doctors to get the pills that this first doctor is not giving to her enough in bulk.
Hmm.
Eventually, she was she discovered that she had used 6 aliases to visit 20 doctors and get prescriptions from all of them.
Wow.
So it's like a heavy pill dependency.
How do you do that as Winona Ryder?
Going to doctors who are willing to basically go along with it.
Right.
Exactly. Now you're walking in, you're like, yeah, my name's Emily.
And it's like,
yep. It's like, nope, you're Winona Ryder, but I'll write this pill for Emily.
Yeah. So she had a pill addiction.
Yes.
And this is part of her defense that she was addicted to pills when she shoplifted.
Yes. And that she was basically wigging out. Like, wasn't really aware of her surroundings. She has lost a lot of memories from this time.
Mm.
As part of her, you know, restitution to the court, she does, you know, go through a rehab process and loses the dependency on the pills.
Yeah. She also got, like, community service.
Yeah, 400 hours of community service, 3 years of probation, and had to pay the Saks Fifth Avenue.
Yeah.
The cat is losing its shit on the floor right now.
Playing with her ball.
Yeah, playing with her ball. But she had to attend psychological and drug counseling for several years.
Yeah.
And that's all ultimately why she takes a step back from the industry. Because we had talked about in some of our earlier episodes, just like the grind that she was on was also working against her mentally.
Yeah.
And that's what happens to, tragically, like a lot of celebrities and actors is like they do get sucked into this machine of Hollywood.
Yeah.
And put into this endless grind where they really don't have a free will or a free say, and they're just like being shuffled around and kind of turned to substances as a way to manage themselves through all this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so like, while it's a tragedy for her career, it is good that she takes this like 5-year break from the movies.
Yeah.
Just to kind of get herself straight.
Is there any bit of info or press of any kind of what she did in those 5 years? I know she went back to San Francisco, I think.
She, I'm not entirely sure.
I've read in like interviews that she, when she talks about it, looking back, she kind of talks about this period in time as like, yes, it was awful when it happened and all these horrible things, the way the press, looked at me, but then she kind of switches the tune and be like, but like, had this not happened, I would have not had taken the 5 years off that I desperately needed and didn't know I need. And so she says, like, she went back to San Francisco and just explored different hobbies and things that she didn't know if she was going to be any good at any of those stuff. But it doesn't, nothing ever says like
it's
what
a period
she
of rediscovery.
Did. Yeah, right.
Okay. It's like very similar to, you know, one of her peers is Robert Downey Jr. And like, he's basically in a very similar trajectory at this time.
Yeah.
Where he has to take a break and like step back from the industry and just kind of rediscover yourself before you decide, do I want to continue in this industry?
Yeah.
They both ultimately arrive at the answer of yes.
Yeah.
But she like takes time and just kind of, you know, does community service, does probation, attends counseling.
Yeah.
And while this is ultimately like a tragedy, it is good that it happened. Like she figured this out and was able to like kind of come back assured of herself and her talents.
Yeah. I don't know what the general thought or consensus is to when she came back, if it was like a night and day fix or if she still had some things working through.
I mean, she doesn't come back in the best movies.
Well, I don't even necessarily mean professionally. I just mean like in a personal way.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and say like, you know, I've heard stories of people who worked with her on set, but I've heard some people who worked with her on set and like, you know, we always want to say, I think it's easy. And I'm not saying this isn't the case that, you know, after this horrible period in Winona Ryder's life of going through the Shoplifting scandal, going into counseling and community service, she came out on the other side, a completely changed person, brand new lookout on life, never touched a pill again and never touched any abusive or addictive substances ever again. And you know, like that's the fairy tale ending of that story. I don't know how accurate that is. That might be fully true. Like she might've been like been completely clean ever since that point in time. But you never know. And I don't think that's an answer we'll ever get on this podcast or show, not without her ever saying anything about it. It seems like whenever because I looked into a bunch of interviews and stuff with her, and she seems very vague about looking back and all the things that it worked with her on her life, just in her personal accounts.
Because I'm reading right now, it's like in 2016, she gave an interview and you had mentioned this. It allowed me time that I really needed where I went back to San Francisco and got back into things. I had other interests that I wanted to just explore for a bit.
Right, like what does that mean? But
and she says, my career slowed down. So then you're hearing it's going to be impossible to come back. And then that changes to you're not even part of the conversation. Like that was brutal.
Yeah.
Just like basically she took a self-imposed exile. And then was basically told, like, I don't know if you're going to be able to come back from this for taking, which when you look at like the grand body of career, like
it's
essentially having, you know, a very successful run that like burning yourself nearly to death for.
Yeah.
And then doing the healthy thing and stepping away. And then people are like, yeah, because you did that, you might not be able to come back.
Yeah. Right. Right.
It kind of sucks.
It does kind of suck.
And it sucks, especially like, you know, we've talked around it, but like being a woman in the industry compared to being a man in the industry.
Oh yeah.
Very different responses. Like Robert Downey Jr. is very hard to insure after his issue. His issues. Mel Gibson throws him money. He insures him and is like, yeah, okay, you put him in movies. And like he winds up in The Shaggy Dog and Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. And next thing you know, Robert Downey Jr.'s back.
Yeah.
Winona has a much harder fight to get back to the top.
Yeah.
Even looking at like, you know, Travolta and Robert Downey Jr. Brendan Fraser, like they, you know, they hit their lowest points. Neither of them necessarily had as bad of a like. Well, I would say Brendan had a pretty serious bad time.
Yeah.
But like it is ultimately kind of like he gets this big celebratory comeback, and Winona like is constantly like on the edge of that happening.
Yeah, because we mentioned Stranger Things a few times on the show, and that's been a pretty good like TV comeback for her. But like the precipice of this whole why we chose Winona Ryder, and I think it's worthy to say it in this episode because this is where like the real split off happens here. Whereas a lot of the men we've covered on the show who go through their downtrodden luck, and then all it takes is one person to like. See, oh, you know, I think this person's got like a comeback. I think this person's got like a, you know, more to give still. And then they offer them the chance and then they hit it out of the park. Pulp Fiction, The Whale, all that stuff.
Yeah.
But it seems Winona Ryder, like you said, has had to claw her way back to like a little bit. And you know, when she came back with Stranger Things, not the main character of the show, plays the main character's mom, one of four main characters, mothers. And like, I'll almost say like, she's great in Stranger Things. She's got some really good scenes. It is just kind of like, we're making a show about the 80s, this classic, like, you know, it's kids play Dungeons and Dragons and they're fighting monsters in their small town in middle of America, nowhere. Who do we get to play the mom? Oh, Winona Ryder's available. That would be perfect for like, you know, just like the prop of it all. So like, she's not giving her like Emmy award winning scenes.
Yeah.
And when it comes to movies, we'll talk about this as we go later, but she doesn't get like
her comeback movie is Star Trek, which she's barely in. And she's in because J.J. Abrams is like, oh, I liked her as a kid.
Yeah. And she's in an Aronofsky film, but not as the main character.
Yeah.
She
gets some good roles coming up, which like, but she never gets that, like the comeback vehicle.
She never gets the comeback vehicle. Exactly. Like, all these movies that we'll talk about in the future, like not all of them bad movies either, but like I want to say like the next movie I can firmly point at on the list of being like a potential for a comeback because it's her, it's a dramatic role, she's the lead, is 2022 Gone in the Night, which got really panned critically. Yeah. Like it didn't really go anywhere. And that was 2 years ago from us recording this.
And I mean, it's still upcoming. But Beetlejuice 2 might, like, Tim Burton seems to be giving her a pretty hefty role in it.
It's the only upcoming project on IMDb is Beetlejuice
2. That and Stranger Things 5, whatever they're calling it.
Right. And so, but, like, I don't know if I've said this on the mic before, but, like, I don't think Beetlejuice 2 is going to be, like, a comeback role.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
It may be a good role. It may be a good movie. She's not getting her... The next movie after Beetlejuice 2 is not going to be her Oscar-winning role.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not the precipice.
Yeah, I don't think that happens.
It is not the Bram Stoker to her Age of Innocence. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, so... my cat Fiona is just having a blast of time in the dining room right now. But I always do this where we do recaps and I talk about the future. But let's talk about the past.
Yes, it's time.
Great era for Winona.
Yeah, great era.
Yeah, great, great.
In terms of quality of movies and performance, like this is the best.
I'd almost say like
one of the best eras we've talked about. There were some great movies.
I was gonna say like no. Truth be told, like this is our third actor we've covered on this podcast, and in terms of uninterrupted era of just solid work, back to back bangers of movies, I think this is like the best era she's ever been in.
Yeah.
Compared to Fraser and Travolta. Yeah. Like Winona has a desk in this era. She's picking directors.
Yeah, she's picking projects.
She's green of the lighting. Table. She's green lighting projects just for being mentioned in the roles.
Because to fully list it out for the audience, here's the run. It's Bram Stoker's Dracula, Age of Innocence, The House of the Spirits, Reality Bites, Little Women, How to Make an American Quilt, Boys, Looking for Richard, The Crucible, Alien Resurrection, Celebrity, Girl Interrupted, Autumn in New York, Lost Souls, Zoolander, Simone, Mr. Deeds. I'd say there are...
And a cameo appearance on Friends.
And a cameo appearance on Friends.
I know you were mentioning TV, but I have to mention her cameo appearance on Friends.
There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5... I'd say there are 5 great movies in this run. Just, like, great. Capital G. I would say there are 1, 2, 3 bad like disasters in this run.
What are the disasters?
I would say Boys,
Lost Souls,
Celebrity, and probably Lost Souls, even though I liked it more than you.
You'd still call it a disaster.
It's basically a disaster. And then the rest like range from like
okay
to good.
House of the Spirits.
Which is a pretty good batting average for unless you're Tom Cruise, like that's a good batting average.
Yeah. House of the Spirits, Reality Bites, Make an American Quilt, Resurrection, Autumn in New York, Zoolander, Mr. Deeds, Simone. Yeah. So, yeah, no, honestly, like that is a... And we didn't even talk about fucking Night on Earth.
Night on Earth?
Well, that was technically the first movie.
No, we consider that the end of the Icarus.
Oh.
We talked about it for that.
Okay. That was the end.
Yeah, that was the last.
It's a tricky one, though, because that is like her first like...
It's her first like auteur, like working with an auteur. I shouldn't say the first because she worked with Tim Burton.
Yeah, but like it is like the first like branching out and trying.
But it's a small role. She's playing like a kid in it.
Go watch Night on Earth, folks. Yeah, please. And watch it. Watch it at midnight when everybody in your house is asleep.
Yeah, maybe a beer in your hand or something.
2 a.m. would even be better.
Great 2 a.m. movie.
Great 2 a.m. movie. But we're not here to talk about Night on Earth because that's not the era. Okay, so... Yeah, I mean, what else is there really to say other than, like, I guess, like, let's get into our favorites, our least favorites, and underrated.
Yeah, I'll say what my favorite is. My favorite, Dracula. Mm. Dracula, probably a perfect movie. It's close to it.
Yeah.
The movie is just so cool, and I think she's great in it.
Yeah.
I would also, you know, shout out Age of Innocence, which is a masterpiece. And then, like, Little Women, great. The Crucible, great. Girl Interrupted, good. Zoolander, great, even though she's only in for one scene.
So your favorite, though, is...
My favorite would be Dracula.
Dracula.
I would consider that, like, top tier.
I am going to have to say Age of Innocence
Respectable.
Is my top movie in this
It's
era.
Hard to compare Age of Innocence and Dracula.
It is very hard.
Like, they're both, like...
Neck and neck.
I mean, it's Coppola and Scorsese making two back-to-back bangers.
Yeah, yeah. I like Age of Innocence. If anything, it really showed what Winona's good at.
And her growth as an actress.
I said this to... Who did I say this to? Cole Bradley? I said this to some... Or maybe it was... No, I don't think it was on the air. But we were talking off mic to, I think, one of our good buddies, Mark Tilly. Mm. And the way I phrased it is... Winona Ryder is not the actress where you give her that scene in The Whale and she like has this explosive monologue about how much her life didn't mean anything. And that's not Winona's Oscar. Winona's Oscar is her looking at Daniel Day-Lewis and Daniel Day-Lewis saying, I think I need to go to Japan. And everybody in the audience knows why he's saying that.
Yeah.
And it's under the guise that she might not know why he's saying it, but we all know. She knows why he's saying it because of how she's playing it.
Yeah.
And then her standing up and being like, well, you can't go to Japan because I'm pregnant. Like, the way she is like just like strumming all these perfect little strings of emotions. It's like she's not a trombone brass actor. She is a viol.
A harp.
I would say more to like, professional acoustic guitar, but in the sense of what's the famous guitar player? Chet Atkins? No, I'm trying to think, but like not in like a rock sense. I mean like acoustic guitar and like the classical,
I know what you mean.
Like just that very precise strumming of the notes in a very particular, meticulous way. Is what Winona is good at. It's changing the meaning of a scene with a look.
Yes.
With an eye.
It's changing her face like on with like a micro expression.
Yeah.
And it telling you the whole story.
Yes. And that's Winona's Oscar. Yeah,
I would say that that's her best performance in this era.
1,000%.
Is Age of Innocence. I'm more partial to Dracula as a movie slightly, but I think Age of Innocence is a better performance.
That's fair. That's totally fair. Yeah. And it's the fact that she's opposite of Daniel Day-Lewis and like the two are just so...
And Michelle Pfeiffer. You're like...
All right. So...
Feisty Pfeiffer. That's our next show.
Feisty Pfeiffer. Age of Innocence, it will go down in history as like one of the best... Like,
movies we've talked about.
Just in the craft. It's the most like, it's the best craft of filmmaking I've ever seen from the movies we've talked about. You know what's probably second place? The Mummy. In terms of the craft.
The craft?
Yes.
The Mummy's pretty good.
No, like in the craft of filmmaking.
Yeah.
Like this is where all the other department heads really fucking shine.
It's a little rude to Blowout.
Blowout's good because Brian De Palma and John Travolta like snorted cocaine and made the best movie of all time. That's why Blowout's good. Blowout's not good because the backdrop is, I should say the parade's pretty fucking amazing. But that's like...
We've talked about a lot of good movies on
A lot about good movies, but I mean by the craft is like everything that's built around the movie, the camera work, the production design, the costuming, the props, the hair and makeup, every element that goes into those specific movies helps the story in such a quintessential way.
Age of Innocence is immaculately crafted.
Yes. And so is The Mummy.
The Mummy is too.
Immaculate.
I went to go see that in theaters a month or two ago.
Yeah.
They brought it back for a weekend.
Yeah.
It was great. Played like a charm.
Yeah. So now we should talk about our least favorite.
Least favorite. Boys, next question.
Celebrity.
Oh, below Lost Souls?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
If I
had to pick...
You mean more like Good Souls?
No, gun to my head. If you had to say, we're going to torture you for, 48 hours, and you have to pick the movie we're going to use to torture you, Lost Souls or Celebrity, I'm going to pick Lost Souls.
Because at least there's some juice to it.
Because if you torture me with 48 hours of Celebrity, I will give
you... You'd lose your shit.
I would lose my shit. Lose my shit. It's so bad. Boys is awful. I can laugh at it for how bad it is. I can't laugh at Celebrity. It's so terrible. Okay. Underrated?
I would say The Crucible, but I think it's had its moment in the sun.
I was going to say Ange really brought me back on How to Make an American Quilt.
Yeah, she won me over.
She won me over on How to Make an American Quilt.
A movie I was basically... It's fine.
It's fine. And then like Ange just dropped like a bombshell of like
that was
information on it. And I was like, you know what? Okay. I actually
she picked that thing apart and like literally made a quilt out.
Patched it all together. Yeah, no, I'd say, Ange, if you're listening to this, that's all on you. You made How to Make an American Quilt a decent, good movie.
That was an episode on how to make a movie sound good.
Yeah. How to Make an American Quilt.
I would actually agree with that. That would be my answer as well.
Underrated. I feel like people should watch that movie.
Yeah.
Because I won't ever call like a movie that's bad that I think is fine, but I can't recommend it. This is a movie that I don't think is perfect, and it's got some problems with the plot and the writing and stuff, but I still think people should watch this movie.
Yeah. Like, whenever I talk like that, like, I'm someone who just like will watch any movie because I'm like, good movies I learn something from. Bad movies I will also learn something from.
Yeah.
But like if I was talking to like just someone who just watches movies for like enjoyment.
Yeah. Like me.
Yeah. Then that's like the only reason. Like you're not trying to work in the film industry and you're just trying to watch a movie because you want to watch something entertaining.
Well, I am trying to work in the industry.
Yeah, like we have awesome. Like we do we like people like you and I who if we watch a bad movie, we gain something out of it and that we learn why does that not work.
Right.
But like How to Make an American Quilt is it's a movie that I would recommend if you're trying to find something enjoyable and you might find some little nuggets in there as well.
Yeah, I agree.
Stuart, what would you rank as the best alien movie?
Oh man, Alien Resurrection. So Alien Resurrection was a treat.
Mm-hmm. It was
fun to talk about. And you know what? Like, it's still an alien movie.
Yeah, it's got a lot of goop in it.
Even the bad alien movies,
they got goop in them.
They got goop.
I'm going to say, is it got a lot of goop.
They got xenomorphs. They got face huggers. They got goop.
Yeah, and, sounds good.
And it has
sign me up.
Sigourney Weaver, who is just cashing the check. But, you know.
Winona's great in that, too.
She's really.
That's like a consistent thing is I don't think in any of these movies she is the problem, really. There's like maybe one that we talked about where you singled out like I think she might be the problem in this.
What was the one that I
can't even remember?
I'm trying to think what I because there was a movie that I said I think because she's the problem.
I think this is just a run where like the excitement of a lot of these movies is watching her try new things. Like even in Alien, like you're like Winona's just she is trying out an action adventure horror franchise. Like she's trying this out. She's trying her legs at comedy. She's trying deep dramatic work. She's trying a movie where she dies of cancer. She's trying a horror movie. Like, it's fun to watch her, like, as someone who we care about as an actress and a celebrity, try all these things out and just really see where her skills lie and what she's good at and what she's not good at. And the answer was ultimately she's pretty good at all these things. She's very multifaceted.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't remember which one I said that I thought she was, like, deeply miscast. Mm-hmm. It might have actually been an early era.
Maybe it was.
But at any rate...
Stuart, what was your favorite documentary about the making of a Richard III production that we talked about?
Jeff, you know what we haven't talked about?
What?
Spirits.
House of the Spirits?
You're just going to let that go
one
by the way.
One of the craziest fucking movies we've
one
ever talked about.
One of the craziest movies we've ever covered.
Not a good movie, but definitely an interesting movie.
Wild movie.
Yeah. She's like miscast because she's not South American in it. That would be the problem.
Which is like three quarters of the cast in that movie.
Jeremy Irons is
Glenn
like
Close.
Glenn Close. Who dies, comes back as a ghost, and then is never mentioned again.
Yeah. I mean, I said my favorite, I said my least favorite, and I said my underrated. And like, we also talked about Aliens being actually kind of like fun to talk about, fun to watch. I'm glad I watched that movie.
Like I just said, I gained something from her performance in all these movies, and I gained something out of all these movies.
Yeah.
It's a very impressive run.
Yeah. And looking forward is, you know,
it's pretty dire for this next layer we're talking about, to be honest with you.
We got a few before we get to Star Trek and then Black Swan. And then after that, I'm excited for Homefront.
You excited for Homefront?
I'm excited for Homefront.
Why are you excited for Homefront?
I don't know.
We have a guest on who worked on that movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Destination Wedding, when we get Keanu Reeves and Winona Ryder reuniting.
And we'll have Cole for that one because he's doing all the Keanu.
That's right.
Which is very funny.
That's right. Hell yeah, we are. Yeah, so, I mean, thank you folks for listening to this recap. I mean, it...
Just kind of a way for us to contextualize everything that we've talked about and look forward.
And we're past the biography point. Right?
Yeah, the biography no longer... Biography. I finished reading that. Yeah. It's in the digital bookshelf.
Yeah, so I think... Yeah, for folks listening, like we talked about her shoplifting scandal, talked about the era of this, and talked about a little bit about what's to come in the future. I think as we continue more talking about Winona, she's the one that I'm most interested to see what comes down the pipe in the future. Actually, that might not be true. Brendan Fraser, I'm very curious to see what comes down the pipe.
His movie Brothers that we keep talking about eventually coming out actually finally got bought by a distributor.
Okay, so it might happen.
So it will be coming out.
Yeah.
Sometime in the next year.
Winona, I'm just...
It comes out October 17th. That's right.
I'm interested to see what Winona gets announced for. I'm not even interested to see, like, to know what... Who she's working with or what. I'm just interested to see, like, what gets announced. Because right now, nothing really is announced besides Beetlejuice 2.
Mm-hmm.
And Stranger Things, I think, that'll be coming to an end pretty soon.
Yeah.
And that's been, like,
She's about to become a lot more free.
Yeah. Which has me a little nervous. So... Anything on the Travolta Pike?
God, Cash Out 2.
Cash Out 2.
Stuart, we...
Yeah, it's gonna be fun. So, all right. I think that's pretty much all we needed to say. Yeah. Unless you have anything else to add.
I think that about sums it up. Make sure to tune in next week for our next episode. We'll be talking about the motion picture... we'll start off with Barn Burner next episode. The Heart is Deceitful Above All Things.
I still haven't seen that yet. I'm really excited to go.
Sir, your mind might be blown by what we talk about.
I hear it's got a really...
You hear it's based on a true story.
I hear it's got, you know, deep subject matter to it that, you know, handles its case very well and not in a very abusive way. So I'm very excited to
Stuart, check it out. You're going to love that episode. It's that movie. It's got a lot of truthful things in it.
Yeah. All right.
But thank you all so much for listening. Please remember to rate, review, and subscribe on whatever platform you're listening on. It is always appreciated. Make sure to pop into our Reddit, r/Travolting. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Blue Sky Threads, @TravoltingPod. Find me on Twitter, @JeffWSweeney. And as always, special thanks to Rebecca Johnson for the graphic design and Michael Van Bergen-Smith for our theme music. Have a great week, folks, and see you next time.